Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to ask a question. How valuable is your experience with the Lord? I think it's a valid question because in my lifetime of living for the Lord, I've seen a lot of people that live for the Lord and went away from the Lord and seemed to have good experiences. And there was people that was much more talented and smarter than I am that went away from the Lord. So I can't help from thinking sometimes how valuable is it to us? And I think sometimes that it isn't valuable enough. I think we're making, sometimes we make too light of it. I don't think it's as important as it ought to be, because I think it's very, very important. I think it's important enough that I think about it quite often. Is there anything that could separate me? Is there some way? As you remember when Jesus said to his disciples, "Will you go away also?" Yeah. Then Peter was grounded enough at that point to say, "Where would we go?" You know, Peter. Well, what do you say after that? I hope we've all got that kind of mindset tonight to say, "Well, where would I go?" Yeah. Really, honestly, where would I go? I don't know about you, but I lived in sin long enough to know I don't want no more of it. I know there's temptations and there's things that challenges and those things, but I can honestly say I run my course in sin enough to know I don't want to go that way. That's not something that's appealing to me. I want something else out of my life than that. But how important is your salvation? Is it important enough to say tonight that I'm going to make a commitment to the Lord, that I'm staying with this thing no matter what everybody else does? I'm going to stay. I am not going to be offended by the devil and be offended away from the Lord. I am not going to be offended by the devil and leave his people. I am not going to allow the devil to take this from me. It's too important to me to allow that to happen. Sometimes people allow the things of the world to challenge it. Well, Lord, help us. How important is... Sometimes I'll get into discussions with somebody and I'll stay scratching my head thinking, you're honestly... That little bit of a thing? That's all that it is that you would allow to come before you and pleasing the Lord? If there was, as Brother Sammons used to say, if there's any doubt, give it to the Lord. It isn't that important. So there's a scripture. I like to start with it in very familiar scripture in Matthew. Just a little thought there in the 13th chapter. 13:46 says, or 45 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, to be honest with this scripture and to see it the way it's written, the kingdom of heaven is not like goodly pearls. It is like a merchant man, that's what it like. But rather getting into the details of what that was, and I think I can make an argument that anything that the Lord does and represents in the Bible, that I can make an argument that I could stand in that place too. So without doing that, I just want to use the principle of this scripture that there is something here that a merchant man, using this idea, that there is something that this merchant man could find so valuable above everything else that he had, he could find it so valuable that he would give everything else to be able to get that pearl. It is a pearl of, it is a one of great cost and great expense and so valuable. be honest with you, you could get all the pearls that the Lord ever made. And I would trade it for a good shotgun if that's all it was. So it ain't valuable to me. I mean, I know some women would just fall over to have a big pearl necklace or something like that, but you're not going to move me with it, so the value of that isn't. But to a merchant man that deals in pearls, that would look and be able to see the value of what he had, could look and say, this is so valuable that I would do anything that I could to get that thing. Now, in my mind, I've said it before, but in my mind, I don't imagine that this guy would sell everything he had, get it all together, maybe even mortgage his house or his boat or whatever he was got, and he would get this pearl. Then he would go, oh, look at this. Boy, I've got a pearl. Look at this. I don't think he would be that haphazard and different. I think that if he had that pearl, he probably would have a special thing that he put it in, and he would guard it. Because this is valuable. I'm not going to lose this pearl. I gave everything for it, and I'm going to keep it. Now, I want to tell you something that's very important to me that I think about. It's my front tooth. I have a front tooth that goes in and out. And I have to take it out sometimes. And when I do, and I've come really, really close to losing that front tooth. And if I had lost that front tooth, I'd be standing up here tonight without a front tooth. Now, I wouldn't care so much for my pride. I'm just afraid that it would be distracting to you all to look up there and see that I don't have a front tooth. It may be hard to accomplish anything if everybody was thinking, what's wrong with it? He don't have a front tooth. I'm not saying anything about people that don't have front teeth. I'm just saying the way I feel about my front tooth is I'm very protective about this fake tooth I have, because when I want to know, I don't want to go on a trip and all of a sudden, I don't have a spare one. This is the only one I have. And I know how I feel. I'm very protective is what I'm going to say. I'm very protective about where I lay it and I'm making sure I try to make all the extra little things in my mind that reminds me of that. You know what I'm saying? The old string around the finger type thing or whatever it is. Because I'm very conscious of the idea of what it'd be like not to have that. Now what I'm saying is that's valuable to me. And it's important. And so I make better, more spatial ideas about it. I think more about it. I make sure that I have guards there and protections against not... Now, you know, there's something that's got to be much more important than that. And yet, yeah, we can be so flippant about our salvation. And this is the most valuable thing that we have. Anything that God has given you is of the most important. It's very, very valuable. And we ought to put that value. Now, the idea of this merchant man was a very positive thing. And he gave all that he could have to get this pearl. But there was another man that in the scriptures, and you can read about this man in second chapter of Ecclesiastes. This man wanted to understand the things of life. And so now he's going to invest in something. You can read about it. He's going to invest in it. So he starts investing and he starts saying, So I started reaching out and I started building houses. And I started making myself ponds, like dams. I started bringing water, and I started having maid servants and men servants, and I started doing, and I done all these things. And I invested myself. I invested my time, my energy. I invested my money, and I got gains, and I done all these things. And there was no dividend. You can read it. He said, after I done it all, it left me hollow and empty. And you know, even so much to the point, and I appreciate a people that's not lazy, and we work hard, and we should do those things. But I'm going to say, if you don't take care of your salvation, that isn't worth anything. Or very little, only on this life to do it.
Because the writer of that, you can read that. Do it sometime in Ecclesiastes. He done that and he put out great efforts. And you know what he said of trying to understand? It's good to have understanding. He wanted wisdom. You know what he said at the end of it? It was almost like he was distraught about it all. I put all this into it, and then how am I different than a fool? I have great understandings and all that, but the end of it, being a fool, line up to the same place. How am I any different than a fool? And yes, I went out and worked hard and gained all this money and all this stuff and had great things, and now I'm distraught because I'm going to have to leave it, and I don't know whether I leave it to the fool or the wise. I've gained nothing. I've lived my whole life, and when I come down to the end of it, there's a big old line that scratches across, and you fall beyond that line like all men do. Naked. Naked. Brains is not going to get you out of it. Being smart or understanding ain't going to get you anything better. And he looked at it and he said, there's no valuable, it's not value. Brother Mark used to tell us quite often, if you're going to invest, invest in God. That's where you should invest. Invest your time, your money, your doings. Invest in God and it'll pay you great dividend. Invest in something that's important. These other things, folks, they're not important. We have to live life and we should do the best we can and be faithful. But it's a great mistake to invest everything we have in something that will not last. And it will not pay off at the end of it. How valuable tonight is what God give you. How valuable. That ought to be very, very valuable. And I want to go ahead and look at a scripture. I'm going to look in 16th of Judges first, I think. Now here's a man named Samson. We're all aware of him. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went into her, and it was told to the Gazites and saying, Samson is come hither, and they can pass him in and wait for him all night. And in the gate of the city there was and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and rose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Zorak, whose name was Delilah. All right. Do you know there wasn't two Samsons? There was only one. And there's only one you. There's not two. There was one. There's no other place account given in the scriptures that there was a man like him. Is there? Was there anybody else that had that vow on him that God did what he did with him? Why him and him alone? Why you and you alone? And why me and me alone? We're all individuals and we're all of God and God can use us. And God and Samson had something special on him, you may say. But it wasn't very valuable to him, it didn't seem. I wonder, Samson, why wasn't that more valuable to you than it was? I mean, this is something that it didn't come by the hands of man. It didn't come by the wisdom of man. It didn't come by them thinking or being able to build it themselves. It wasn't like the idols of their day that everybody knew that some skilled man overlaid it and carved it and done all that. And you could look and say, man, cut that. That's a tree cut and overlaid and done all that. You could look and see that it was, and it was. None of that applied to Samson's experience at all. What man is it possible that could will himself to take a city gate off its hinges? Or off its hinges, he took the post and everything and to carry it off. Well, who could do such a thing as that? And who could beat down 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? And who can do these things? And what man could make it possible that you'd do it? I'm going to tell you, if you could do it, you'd have a line of people lined up to come and get you to do it, because that's pretty incredible things. But that wasn't by the hand of man. This was by the will of God that he had done this, and gave this to Samson, and Samson had a vow on him, and he had a blessing of God that come on him that allowed him to do the work that God would allow him to do. And do you know that should have been valuable enough to him for him to get a hold of that and say, I cherish above everything else what God made me to be, what God given to me. You have a gift too. You may be sitting there struggling to say what it is, but I'm going to tell you, God didn't leave any of us out of this. You have something too that God wants of you, that God made you to do, and that you can do it like nobody else can do it in your world. But you know what? Samson, he dallied around with that. It wasn't very important, it seemed. He was warned. He knew. He wasn't stupid. He knew. But he felt himself, he felt himself above it, maybe. But the main thing was is that this that God gave him wasn't important enough for him to say, I will do whatever I have to do. I will suffer. I will do whatever I have to do it. But here's the problem with most of us. We are not willing to see what can happen, because Samson didn't think loving Delilah necessarily was going to be what done it. Understand what I'm saying? It wasn't a clear choice. But I've said this a number of times. It goes back to my childhood, because I can remember my aunt used to live in town, and it was right by the river, and we would go visit. We would go visit over there sometime, and as a young boy, I loved the water. I loved the river. And I'm going to tell you, if my mom said, don't get wet, that means you don't go jump in, right? So I could go and I'd jump rocks. So mom just said, not get wet. You know, you jump rocks long enough. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't get wet on purpose. I didn't make sure I wasn't going to get wet on purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wanted to be down there. I wanted to be at the river. So I went down and I pushed it right to the line. I pushed it right to the line, not protecting what my mom had told me. If I really cared about what she said, and I really didn't probably care what she said, but if I hadn't really cared, I probably cared after that. More than I cared before. But if I had cared, I would have said, I better stay away and put a distance between me and the river, because mom said not to get wet. And if I get down there, there's a real good chance, if I put myself in the right environment, I'm going to do that. Folks, we got something special from God that is important, that should be the most important thing in our lives. This comes down to a personal. I can't look at you and tell you what it is or what you should do. But it comes down to a personal. What do I need to keep my salvation? What do I need to keep my experience? What do I? There's things that I know I should stay away from. There's places that I should do it. And if I love my salvation and I want to keep it, I should do those things. And I'm going to tell you, Samson's weakness was women. It was, and he loved women more than he loved the things of God. It's clear in there that he did. It was never just such a clear comparison, but it's there nonetheless. And so you know the story of Samson, the great strong man, that under the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him, no enemy ever could defeat him. Do you know that we have that same promise on us? There isn't an enemy, there isn't enough devils in hell to defeat us in the will of God. We don't, not even the collective, not even as a collective body, as an individual. There's not enough devils to defeat us. as long as we're in God's will, doing what God wants us to do. He's over those kind of things. But yet, as in this story, he played. He played with the thing that God had given him. And he used it. He went ahead and used it. He fought the enemy, and he was a judge in Israel, and he done it. But he done that. But he done some foolish things, and he had done it before. But now he's got Delilah. You know, remember the story of Delilah? Oh, how obvious! Wasn't she obvious? She seemed to be very obvious to me. But I wasn't in love with Delilah. Ah, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't understand anybody that would want to go out here and get hooked on heroin. I don't know anybody that would want to go steal and break into people's cars and risk being shot and killed over a high in heroin. But I ain't addicted to it. And if I'd be addicted to it, I'd understand why they would do it. I didn't love Delilah, so I don't understand this idea. But he gave his heart to something, and he lost the precious thing of God that God had given him. This should be more valuable to us than anything else. Lord, help us to make our most solemn vow to God that I'm going to serve you no matter what happens. I want to continue living for the Lord. We know what happened with Samson. Samson lost a lot by that. Yes. He lost a lot. There come a time that Samson, and you remember the story, there's quite a story there, but she kept trying to get it from him, and he was funning her. He was playing with her. And her words ring so true, we all can understand these words. If you love me, Samson, she would say. What enticing words from the woman she loved. If you loved me, Samson, you wouldn't fun me like this. If you loved me, you would tell me. And finally, it said that he told her all of his heart. Yes. He finally gave away all of the heart. And then while he was sleeping in her lap, they cut his hair off. And then she hollered, Samson, the Philistines be up on you. And said he arose up to shake himself like he did before. All just like he did afore. And he wist not. He didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Lord, help us. Is that how easy it happens? It can work just like that? How valuable is this really to us? Are you playing with your salvation? Are you serious about it? Lord, help us. Another scripture comes to my mind is in the 25th chapter of Genesis. Oh, let's see. I'll go back to 24. 25 and 24 of Genesis, it says, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Oh, sell my birthright? Now, wait a minute. Let me sit back and calculate this a minute and see what this really means. I have a birthright. It was an institution that God gave. So God's involved in this. And I can't remember me outdoing Jacob to get out first. That was another will of God. So I'm born by destiny. I'm born by the will of God for a purpose, for a time, for a firstborn's, for the things of a firstborn. I'm given this by God. And no, Jacob, I'm sorry, my brother, you ain't getting my birthright. I'm not, even if I die, I'm not giving you my birthright. Shouldn't it have meant something to him that the hand of God was in it? Shouldn't it have meant something that the will of God was in it? What, can God will a person to destiny and then let him fall short of it? Can God cause a person to be something but yet not be able to get him to that end? Of course not. Esau wasn't going to die. Yes. God would have fed him with a raven. God would have fed him somehow. It was in the will of God that he have a purpose on earth. And yet, he looked at it with contempt. It means nothing. It means nothing to me. I come out in the field and you know, the Bible, we read in a number of places, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Should have been Esau. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But it wasn't Esau. Because he didn't care enough to die for it. He didn't care enough to put the value of what God wanted him to be. Do you know there's people that I've heard about that said, I don't want to go no farther in this. I'm afraid God will make a preacher out of me. Well, I can say from my point, it ain't that bad. But would you want anything less than what the God would make you to be? What if God had made you from your mother's womb to be a minister of the gospel? What if he had in his mind that he gave you special gifts to touch people's lives with and he wanted to use you to that? It isn't your doing it anyway. God can help you to do it. Amen. And yet many times people will say, I ain't going no further in this because I'm afraid God will make a preacher out of me. I say, give it all to the Lord. It's the best investment you'll ever make with your life, to give God all your life. And allow him to have it and use it and do whatever with it is, because God's got something for you in your life and you're special to that. You'll do things that nobody else will do or have the ability to do if you can do it. I say this, and I only say it because it's the most obvious to our minds. We understand it. But if you got the ability to sing, why don't you ask the Lord if he'd have you to sing? We need singers. I know we'll take the specials. I'm saying there's more of a ministry than that. I go to the old folks' homes. I go to the places. There's people that are touched by singing that is touched in no other way. They'll welcome you when they will not welcome me as a minister. They'll welcome me in after you start singing sometimes. We go a lot of times and they always are wanting us to pray after. There's such a place there for a ministry there. But you know, a lot of times people don't even think that God may have given them that to use. I had one person tell me, I said something about, you've got such a voice, such a gift. Why don't you sing? And the young man said, well, I would, but nobody will sing with me. And I said, what do I have to hold? Somebody hold my hand? When I get up, I got to do mine by myself. I mean, nobody's up here. Hey, give me that. No, it's not like nobody's up. Then I say, do it to the will of God. And the only reason I mention that particularly, because we can understand that more. But there's so much more to do. And Esau says, sell me your birthright, Jacob said to him. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Really? You know, that was a mistake. Yes. I can show you in the scriptures, and just every time in the scriptures, when someone does this, it's catastrophic. It's a terrible thing to do this. God wanted us to want Him and His way more than anything else in the world. And I'm going to tell you, it's the only way this thing really works is when we want it with all our heart. When we will not give it up for any purpose. And you'd say, I mean, I've looked at it many times. Those old martyred people and them, the people that come to kill them are going to cut their heads off or stretch them to death or lions or burning or whatever it is. I said, how could it be possible that somebody would have such a grace to still go through that and be what they had to be? It didn't belong to them. It was God's grace. They tapped into God's grace and God's gift to them. And God was able to bring them through that. It wasn't of their own, but they was willing to say, I will stand for this. I will stay Christian. This Christian, I want to see what the end of a Christian life is. I want the experience of this. And I'm going to die for it if I have to. I'm not going to give it up. And Esau, we've heard it many times, for a bowl of beans. I wonder if Esau ever got hungry again. What? 3 or 4 hours? You think that hunger pain may have hit him again, what, 6 hours later? That's cheap. That's cheap. To give up something. Had it been only a human institution that a man had come up with and designed, I'd have said it wasn't a bad deal. But this was of God. And that makes it a bad deal. God had something planned for him, and he went around God's plan for his life. Lord, help you and I that we would be willing to keep it no matter what. How valuable is it? Look at another scripture with me over in Luke. Let's see, this is 10 and 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now I want to tell you something that the Lord always seemed to do. When people came to him with the carnal or the mundane things of life, he was always quick to put it in perspective. There was a man came to him and said, Lord, would you tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me? And the Lord's response is not what he wanted to hear. He warned him about covetousness. He turned it to the valuable. Because if you get the whole inheritance, you'll still be lost. Yes. If you obtain all that you strive to do, you're still going to have to face the Lord. So he turns it around. And Martha, come, I believe in all sincerity. I feel for her, don't you? I feel for her. Sure, she was trying to do something that she felt like needed to be done. Sure, we're going to have to eat. Well, we eat when we go to camp meetings and stuff. You know, somebody's going to have to work there in it. So she goes to the Lord. Don't you care? Martha could have easily said, Lord, you know, it would have been a lot better if I wouldn't have had it come and done this. Isn't that what's written in that? Don't you care? Isn't that what that means? Wouldn't it have been better, Lord, that I wouldn't have had anything to do with it? If you would have just told Mary on your own, then it would have worked out a lot better for me. But the Lord isn't interested in those kind of things. He turned it right around to the most important thing that hit her right where. And if she would be wise, she would use this the rest of her life. And it would help her keep the most valuable thing in her life and keep her salvation if she would remember that she was a woman that got cumbered a lot. And the Lord specifically told her that, Martha, Martha. Anytime the Lord says that twice, anytime your name is said twice, you got to really perk up because there's a meaning rather than just say Martha, Martha, Martha. You're cumbered about a lot of stuff. You got it wrong, Martha. I know what you're wanting me to do, but I'm going to tell you, you would be so much better off to lay down your mundane things and go sit with Mary and get something that will last you through eternity. Because the bottom line of it is, if Mary stays here, all she does is delays her eating. But if you stay there, you're going to be lost forever. You're going to lose your soul over it. This is the fact. This is why so often I see a lethargic attitude towards the things of God, towards our salvation. So often I see an indifference that's creeped in. That of course I'm a preacher, so I get to say that. You know I'm going to say it, but there has to be some conviction of service to God. There has to be, folks, there has to be a concern and care because we did not institute. You have to realize that God instituted us going to service. It's in the scriptures. It's instituted that the first day of the week they met and God did it. So, and I talk about those things that you ought to devote yourself to it. I'm not saying it in the will of man. I'm saying there's something that God has said that we ought to look into and say, that is important to my salvation. Why don't I care? Lord, help me to care. Help me not to turn loose of it, if anything. Help me not to be distracted. Because there is times that we can be distracted with other things. But I'm going to tell you, as much as you can, you should make a devotion to God and keep it. Yes. For your soul. It's more valuable than anything else. We devote ourselves to the jobs, and if we don't, we get fired. And so, because the penalty is severe, we do what we have to do. We go to bed when we have to go to bed. We set our clocks. We get up when we have to get up. And we keep what we have to do because if we don't, there's a consequence to it. Now, more. So much more. Ought we to keep our souls? Because there's going to be a consequence of not keeping our souls. I know that you can backslide sitting right in your seat here. You can lose your soul sitting right there under the priest. You can. Lord, help us to be diligent. You can even make yourself go to service on Sunday because of pressure and not even have your mind into it or your heart into it. I know that's true, but it still affects me to see a flippant attitude about our Sunday morning services. Because God instituted that. I know we like to go to these camp meetings. I think they're in the will of the Lord, but I could prove none of it by scripture that we have to do that. But I'll tell you one thing. It's in the scripture that he instituted that we go to service. And he instituted the first day of the week to do it too. And that's in the scriptures. It ought to be something that's important to us. And we ought to seek the Lord until that's what we want to do. Lord, help us in our hearts. I'm not contented. I've said this for years. I am not contented to just go through a form or a ritual that I don't want to do. I want the Lord to help me to love it. Lord, I want to do it because my heart's in it and I want to do it. And I want to go to service because there's something there that's valuable to me. And I go that way and I get something from it. That's the way I want to serve the Lord. Not the way Esau just gave it up without its importance. God wants to do something with each and every one of us. It may be something, it may not be in a ministry, it may not be in singing, but God still wants to do something with each and every one of us. And when we don't value that, we'll lose it. We'll lose it. It's just like the parable of the talents. If you don't use it, you'll lose it somewhere along the line. Another scripture I want to look at, scripture in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 21st verse. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Naboth has a vineyard that borders King Ahab's place. And it says, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. All right. Let's consider this a little bit. Sounds like a fair offer, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, it's a fair enough offer. But there's something involved in this that doesn't fit American society. There's an understanding here. When the children of Israel went into the land and got the land, God gave it to them. It was God's gift to them. And it was divided by the will of God. So what they would do was, if they had a property there, they was not to sell that property. It was to stay with the family that God gave it to. There's a great principle involved in this. It's the principle that God knows better than we do. There's a principle that God knows better what will make us happy and fulfilled and where what our land ought to be than we do. He didn't put everybody in the same place. Some was on the mountain, some was in the valley, some was over here, some was over there. Some had vineyards and some had woods. Some were fishermen by the coast, some was here, there. God put people in their various places. He had a vineyard, he wasn't a shepherd. God gave them what they were. That's the principle. The idea is that God himself gave Naboth and his family this. So much so that if this was ever taken or it was something happened to it, that there was a year that it would all return in the year of Jubilee. It all went back to the original family. If they mortgaged it or sold it or whatever they did, it would go back. But Naboth, with his principles high and his understanding clear, understood that God, not man, God, had given him who he was and what he was supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. I'll never be happy or fulfilled anywhere else. Naboth was saying, I'm in God. You want to get me out of God? God did this, not man. God chose this for me, not man. So Ahab comes along and just simply says, I'll make you a fair deal. But there was no deal that could be made. Do you understand? Naboth didn't have a choice. It was God in it. Oh, we're willing so many times to sell off God cheap out of our lives. When this is God made me to be me. I say this a lot of times. I don't know why God would make somebody like me. But then I have to say, it was God that did it. I've got to accept my height, my size, my who I am. I've got to accept certain things because it's God.
That's right.
I would be condemning God to say anymore, God does this, make do this. Well, I'll never be wealthy in my life, but that's okay. Because God made me to be this. And I may say, what am I doing up here? I was a person that could barely even get through school in my life. I have problems in there. I was in special ed at times in my life and special education things and all that in my life. And it was a time my mom always was scratching her head. Oh, what's this? The rest of my family was smart. I just wasn't smart. And then I go and say, I want to serve the Lord. And the Lord turns around and says, I want you to be a preacher. And I'm saying, Lord, you got to be kidding me. How are you going to choose somebody that can't talk before? I couldn't say it were anything. I'd be so embarrassed and shy and can't say anything. And you're going to say that to me. And the Lord says, that's what I want of you. Okay. You know what I had to say? I literally did this, folks. I said, Lord, I will be a fool for you. I felt that way. I'm going to make a fool out of myself, but Lord, if this is what you want, I'll make a fool. No, I'm going to do it. And Lord, if this is what you want. But it's the Lord that chose that. I don't have a right to tell him no. Naboth didn't have a right to tell him no, that he wanted to be a fisherman or he wanted to be a shepherd. He didn't have a right to tell him he wanted to be something else. God had put him, I'm going to tell you, the happiest place you'll be in your life is when you find where God wants you to be. Amen. It's where you'll be the happiest place you can ever be. Reason there is so much upheaval in the world today is because people aren't in where God wants them to be. They're teaching more and more about the difference. And when God said you're supposed to be this, they say you can be that or this. And they're changing the whole idea. Men don't even have to be men or act like men. Women don't have to act like women. They don't have to do all that. And it is going to end in nothing but sorrow. Because you can't do that. When Solomon looked at it all and tried to do it, he said, it's vanity. I tried it my way and it didn't work. And at the end of it, I don't have anything. Lord, help us. That we hold valuable, things valuable. This world isn't valuable. It's going to burn up. And oh, how many conflicts there is over a foot of land. How many people get shot over a car or killed over an object or families break up over a picture or things and it goes on and there's no value to it.
That's right.
Because they lose what's really valuable. It's the salvation God give us. It's so valuable, folks. Lord, help us to grab it and hold on to it and keep it and not lose it under any circumstance. Oh, devil's trying to steal it from us. He's trying to make the world look better, trying to make it shine and it has nothing but heartache and sorrow in it.
That's right.
Oh, devil's trying to entertain us right out of our salvation. Entertainment's everywhere. Just hold your attention. Entertain. Enter means to end, and tain means to hold. You're held from within. That's the idea of entertainment. I like some entertainment too. I like things that I'm interested in to read and do those kind of things. But the old devil wants to get us held from within and just hold on to it till we don't have the thoughts of God. We don't have the thoughts of reality of what this is going to do to my life. People are just entertained. Just get them a drink, get them a smoke, do something to get them out of the present distress of their life and just entertain themselves through life and not hold on to the valuable things, the things of honor and honesty and the things that are true and right that God wants to give us. Our salvation is more important than anything else that we have. We ought to make sure. You know what? There's a lot of things can fall around us in our lives if we take care of that first. Some of you know I like to hunt and fish. But I can't hunt and fish when I'm supposed to be doing something for the Lord. And if I try to, I'll just be miserable and empty at the end of it. And at the same time, my spiritual life is going to suffer and suffer and suffer. And I'm going to get to a place that it isn't doing for me anymore because it isn't real anymore. And it'll become stagnant. And as I stagnate and you stagnate and you stagnate, then we all stagnate. And we all become collectively stagnant. It's because we're not valuing really the value of my salvation. Oh, I want to tell you. Yeah, I remember it was radical. I was radical. I remember that. And I'm very pitiful towards people that are radical when they get saved. Because when I got saved, it was so precious to my soul.
that I become radical. I was. I remember I combed my hair a certain way when I got saved. And when, as soon as I got saved and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh no, is that too worldly? I put my hair down, straight down. And I wouldn't even hardly call it back thinking I was trying to be too pretty or too good looking or something. This. Yeah, I was radical. I admit I was radical. Went to get me something out of the refrigerator, and the day after I was saved, get something out of the refrigerator, went to get something. I said, I wonder if I should drink that. I was radical. You know why? I didn't want to lose it. I had something I'd never had in my life before. And it was so valuable to me, I said, I don't want to lose this for anything. I would have combed my hair anyway. I would have wore anything. I would have eat or not eat anything. I'd have done anything to just stay saved. It was so valuable. You know, the Lord wants us to still be that way. He don't want us to be radical. He wants us to learn. He wants to teach us. He wants to lead and guide us that we can be true. But He wants us to have the same heart. He wants us to have the heart of, Lord, I'm not selling this for a bowl of beans. I'm not going to sell it for a country song. I'm not going to sell it for a movie clip. Or I'm not going to sell it for what the things of the world. Lord, I'm not going to sell myself. Well, I'm not going to sell my salvation. I'm not going to sell myself to undress for that little bit. It's not enough. There's not enough. Devil, you don't have enough to buy this. This was bought by the blood of Jesus. And it's too valuable. It's just too valuable for me to let it go. And I'm going to keep it no matter what. And you know what this comes down to? I love you all. You are a great inspiration. I love the church. I love the people. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got to determine. I'm going to do it if you don't. I'm going to do it if you don't. If I got to be the last one standing, I want to be the last one standing. I don't think it'll be that way. But if I have to be, that's what I want to do. I'm going to commit to the Lord that no matter what happens, I'm going to go on with the Lord. This is how valuable this is to me. I want to be saying at the end of it, I won't be like Solomon said at the end of it, where I feel like that I've done all these things and then I match up with the fool. No, because I'm going to tell you something. There is something beyond this life. There is something beyond this. If it wasn't, we're all fools. But there is something that the Lord went and got for us. He paid this for us. And there is something that we have available to us. I want to know what that is. I'm like Brother Sam. I want to see the end of a Christian race. Yes. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, I want to tell you there's something valuable waiting for you. And if you're here tonight and you've got salvation, count it as the most precious of gold. Count it as the most valuable thing. It is the most valuable thing you have. Embrace that thing. Hold on to it. Protect it and guard it at all costs. Because it's the most valuable thing you can have. You pray for me.